The generation that will enter the land of Israel never heard God's voice at Sinai. They never experienced the earth-shattering sounds, the terror, the awe. In place of memory, all they have is a story. Moshe's task in Devarim, his primary task, according to some, is to make that story matter. Explaining the words that describe Moshe's project in the book of Devarim, the Chizkuni states, Moshe undertook to expound this Torah. He expounded all the mitzvot in the Torah, including the Ten Commandments that the people had heard from God directly. God wished that the new generation, which had been born after the revelation of Mount Sinai, should hear the commandments at least from the mouth of Moshe. Moshe's project in Devarim is to make that retelling as close to a lived experience as possible. Moshe is not God, but he will speak the words he once heard God speak. In recounting the Torah, and particularly God's words at Sinai, Moshe hopes to bring the people as close to revelation as people who do not experience it can be. But Moshe knows that while the generation about to enter the land has the privilege to hear the story of Sinai from him, if not from God himself, their descendants will not have that privilege. Moshe knows that their children and their children's children in turn will have had no such experience to ensure that they will keep the Torah and remain loyal to God. For them, Har Sinai and the time in the desert will be something that happened many years ago to ancestors they never even knew. Moshe, though, refuses to allow Sinai to become a distant memory. Instead, he offers what he does in Devarim as a template, a model of retelling. Moshe commands the Jewish people to gather together every 7 years and reread the book of Devarim, his story about the Jewish people's encounter with God and time in the desert. And Moshe instructed them as follows. Every seventh year, the Shemitah year at Sukkot, when all Israel comes to appear before your God in the place that God will choose, you shall read this Torah aloud in the presence of all Israel. Gather the people, men, women, children, and the strangers in your communities, that they may hear and so learn to revere your God and to faithfully observe every word of this Torah. Their children, too, who have not had this experience, shall hear and learn to revere your God as long as they live in the land that you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. Every 7 years, the entire nation must gather together and listen to the Torah being read aloud, recounting the sounds and sights of Ma'amad Har Sinai, listening to the insistence that it was not their ancestors who experienced the smoke and sulfur, the fire and lightning, the booming voice of God, but they themselves gathered there that very day. Through the power of the story, every 7 years, the Jewish people will have the chance to transform Sinai from a memory into a real place, a place where they, as a nation, might encounter God. In this way, Moshe hopes, the Jewish people will learn to fear God, and out of that fear, obey his commandments. Through the power of words, Sinai will once again be given the chance to come to life. But retelling the story is not enough on its own. Generations change. The story that brings one generation back to Sinai may push another generation further away. In order to matter, the storyteller must be prepared to tell the story in different ways. That may be why Rashi, commenting on the same words as the Chizkuni, explains the word expound differently, not as a simple retelling, but as a translation. Expound this Torah in 70 languages, he explained it to them. Rashi, likely, does not mean 70 languages literally. The Jews about to enter the land have grown up in a homogeneous community. It is difficult to imagine that Rashi thinks that Moshe spends his last days explaining the Torah in languages no one hearing him speaks. Instead, the Birkat Asher explains, Rashi is not talking about literal languages, but about interpretations. Rather, the interpretation is to say in 70 ways, as it says, expound it well, not in 70 languages, but in 70 ways of explanation. Moshe understands that for a story to endure, we must be able to tell it in different ways. And so, in the last days of his life, Moshe begins that process, interpreting over and over, telling the story again and again, demonstrating that there is enough within it to survive the ages. Thousands of years later, years past the building and destruction of the first temple, through the Babylonian exile and Shivat Zion, at a Haka-like ceremony, we see another such retelling. On Rosh Hashanah, Ezra, the head of the return to Israel, gathers together the small band of the few thousand Jews who followed him out of the Babylonian exile and back to the land of Israel. After 70 years of exile, the collective memory of the Torah and Har Sinai has nearly vanished. These Jews have little knowledge of the Torah. Ezra needs to figure out how to revive Sinai for them, how to renew the covenant between God and the Jewish people as he attempts to rebuild the Jewish commonwealth. And so, on Rosh Hashanah, he gathers the Jewish people together and stands on a stage, surrounded on both sides by his closest allies, and begins to read from the Torah. The magic of the words works. As Moshe intended, the people experience awe and fear, so much so that they begin to cry. As Moshe intended, they are willing once again to commit themselves to the covenant out of this fear. But while the words that Ezra uses to summon the memory of Har Sinai are the same, he makes a surprising and risky choice. He chooses to change the story. This experience, he explains to the people, should not be one of fear. Stop crying, he tells them. This is a holy day, a holy experience, and that holiness demands joy and celebration. Stop crying, he says, and go home and celebrate with your families. Eat beautiful meals and send food to people who don't have any. The covenant with God has been renewed in joy. Your joy in God is your strength, he tells them. This time, the experience of Sinai is not one of obedience out of fear, but out of joy and love. The story, as Moshe intended nearly a millennium before, still has the power to create reality for the Jewish people. It still has the power to take Sinai on the map and make it into a real, tangible place. But this time, the story is ever so slightly different. Though the words are the same, the tone is different, and that difference changes everything. The Torah is a gift of words, but we forget too often that it is not simply a gift of words received. Our words accompany the words of the Torah, shaping its interpretation and reception. Our words create the atmosphere in which it is received. Our words become the breath we breathe into the text, creating the nature of the Torah in this world. May the Torah we create be the Torah our people need.